Welcome, returning listeners, and a good day for brand new listeners. You've found the one-stop shop for all things spooky, creepy, unique, and original. I'm your host, The Tale Teller, sharing tales from around the world, but also originally created by me. And recently, that's what I've been doing, creating more and more stories. And today's episode is dedicated to my brand new White Tea Warlord supporter, Maya. Thank you so, so much for choosing to support me, legend. And I'm so grateful that I stopped what I was recording during the week and decided to actually create a story just for you. So I hope you love it. It involves trees, poison, icky stuff, the natural world, and, well, something unique, just like you. So legends, turn off the lights, turn up the sound, and pour yourself a cup of tea. And join me for a creepy story. Enjoy. The Roots of Hunger, dedicated to Maya, my White Tea Warlord. Chapter 1, The Wilted Touch. Beneath the canopy of peace, something twisted was taking root. Maya's hands moved with practiced ease, snipping the fragile stems of violets and marigolds from their sunlit beds. The forest hummed around her, a symphony of birdsong and rustling leaves. Her cabin, nestled against a hill draped in ivy, overlooked a stream that glittered in the morning light. Everything here thrived in harmony, a testament to the magic she wove into her work as a healer. She carried her basket like an offering, its woven sides brimming with vibrant blooms and sprigs of lavender. Maya's touch was as gentle as the breeze, her connection with nature not merely a skill, but a deep, mystical bond. With every cut, she murmured a quiet word of thanks. To her, life wasn't just sacred. It was powerful and demanding reverence. The air tasted sweet, tinged with the freshness of pine and the faint, honeyed scent of flowers. Her herb gardens flourished near the cabin, its rows neat and orderly, each plant pulsing with vitality under her care. Bees danced lazily above the blossoms, their low hum soothing in its constancy. Everything was alive here. Everything belonged. But the forest had other moods, ones Maya rarely acknowledged. On some days it whispered too softly, its melodies marred by an undercurrent of tension. A silence would settle, heavy and expectant, as though the trees were holding their breath. Today began as one of those days. Her knife hesitated mid-slice as she caught sight of an anomaly. A single marigold, its vivid yellow petals curling inwards, brown veins cracking their delicate surface. Maya frowned. It wasn't disease. Not like anything she'd seen before. The plant had twisted itself unnaturally, forming a crude, jagged X. She crouched, studying it. Around the wilted marigold, others stood unaffected, their bright faces unbothered by whatever poison gripped this one. Still, Maya's stomach tightened.
It's nothing,
she muttered to herself, straightening. Yet, as she continued through her collection route, the signs multiplied. A cluster of violets blackened at the edges, and wild rose's petals crumpled inward, its branches coiled like skeletal fingers. The same jagged X appeared again and again, carved in the language of rot and decay. The forest felt wrong. The usual symphony of life dulled to a discordant hum. The once inviting shadows beneath the trees seemed darker now, and the sunlight dappled the ground with fractured patterns that felt chaotic, not serene. Her heart thudded faster as her surroundings sharpened in a way that felt unnatural. Every sound too loud. Every scent too sharp. A rustle to her left startled her. Spinning, she saw a deer bolt from the undergrowth. Its movements erratic. Its eyes, normally wide with innocent curiosity, were bloodshot and frantic. It stopped briefly to paw at the earth, its hooves tracing, no, carving, the X symbol into the soil before fleeing deeper into the woods. Maya's breath caught in her throat. This was no sickness. This was something far older, far darker. The basket in her hand suddenly felt heavier as she hurried back to her cabin. Every step was shadowed by the silent presence of the X, now burned into her thoughts. As the door creaked shut behind her, the world outside seemed to hold its breath, waiting. Chapter 2. The Forest Whispers. The further she ventured, the more the woods revealed their rotting heart. That night, Maya struggled to sleep. The images of the twisted plant played on a loop in her mind, each X etched sharper in the darkness of her thoughts. She had spent years attuning herself to the language of nature, the gentle whispers of leaves, the hum of soil alive with roots and insects. Yet now, the forest spoke a language she couldn't understand, or worse, didn't want to. Morning came reluctantly, the sun hidden behind a layer of grey clouds. Maya stood at her window, staring into the woods beyond her garden. The undergrowth seemed darker than it had been. The edges blurred like an unfinished painting. Even the stream's cheerful babble sounded muted. She couldn't ignore the signs. Something had to be done. With her satchel packed and her senses on high alert, she ventured deeper into the woods than ever before. Her knife hung at her side, its weight both a comfort and a reminder that she was leaving behind the safety of familiarity. The trees closed in around her as she walked, their trunks thick and gnarled, the air growing colder with every step. At first, the signs were subtle. A patch of ferns wilted as though seared by invisible flames, moss sloughing off rocks in gelatinous clumps. But the deeper she went, the more grotesque the forest became. Branches drooped unnaturally low, heavy with clusters of blackened, pulsing growths. Vines twisted into knots, their thorns gleaming like wet bone. And then came the smell. It hit her like a wall, sickly sweet, like decayed fruit mixed with something metallic. It clung to the back of her throat, and she covered her mouth with her scarf, though it did little to dull the stench. Her eyes watered as she pushed forward, every instinct screaming at her to turn back. Then she saw it. In a small clearing, the earth bulged unnaturally, as though the forest floor had swallowed something enormous and couldn't quite contain it. The soil was cracked, dark veins radiating outward from the mound like a pulsating web. At its center stood a tree unlike any Maya had ever seen. Its bark was black and slick, as though coated in oil, and its roots spread out like skeletal fingers clawing at the ground. The branches twisted upward in jagged spirals, their tips ending in sharp points that seemed to pierce the air itself, and carved into its trunk over and over was the same X symbol that haunted her every thought. she took a step closer, unable to look away. The tree pulsed faintly, as though it had a heartbeat of its own. The ground around it writhed, and for a moment, she thought she saw faces, human faces, pressing up from beneath the soil, their mouths open in silent screams. A noise behind her snapped her attention back to the forest. She spun, knife in hand, but saw nothing. The woods were silent now, unnervingly so. Even the ever-present hum of insects had vanished. Her fingers tightened around the knife's hilt as she backed away from the tree. Whatever this was, it wasn't natural. It wasn't right, and it was spreading. As she turned to retreat, her foot caught on something. She stumbled, landing hard on her hands and knees. Looking down, she saw what she had tripped on. A skeletal hand protruding from the soil, its fingers curled as if reaching for her. Her breath hitched as she scrambled to her feet, brushing dirt from her hands. The forest around her seemed to close in, the trees leaning closer, their twisted branches reaching out like claws. The path back to her cabin felt impossibly far. But she didn't have a choice. Maya ran, the stench of decay clinging to her like a second skin. She reached her cabin just as the sun dipped below the horizon, the woods behind her a wall of impenetrable shadow. Slamming the door shut, she locked it and lit every candle she had, the flickering light doing little to chase away the images burned into her mind. The twisted tree, the writhing ground, the X. Something was coming, and Maya wasn't sure if she could stop it. Chapter 3. Roots of Corruption. What she thought was the heart of the woods was only its bleeding wound. The night was alive with sounds that had no source. Maya sat by her hearth, the firelight casting long, trembling shadows across the cabin walls. She gripped her knife tightly, its polished blade catching the flicker of flames. Outside, the forest groaned. Trees shifted as though their roots strained against the earth itself, and every creak of timber felt like a guttural ancient whisper. Sleep was impossible. Her mind was alight with the visions of that monstrous tree and the skeletal hand clawing at her feet. She closed her eyes, but the faces beneath the soil pressed against her thoughts, their gaping mouths muttering words she couldn't understand, but felt deep in her bones. Something far worse than decay was at work in her woods. As dawn broke, or what little dawn the suffocating grey sky allowed, Maya packed for a deeper excursion. She brought her strongest remedies, including a small vial of aconite. Its liquid, a pale, venomous blue, poison, she knew, could act as a savior when all else failed. The forest was silent now, but not in peace. It was a breath held too long, a stillness laced with malice. The path twisted unnaturally as if the trees had shifted overnight, and the familiar trails became mazes. Even the ground beneath her boots felt wrong, soft, spongy, as though something pulsed just beneath the surface. She moved cautiously, scanning the undergrowth for more signs of corruption. Soon she found them. A deer lay dead by the stream, its body twisted unnaturally, its legs splayed in impossible angles. The flesh was raw and peeling, revealing veins blackened like charred roots. Its eyes, wide and unseeing, were encircled by that infernal X, carved deep into the skin. Maya's stomach churned, but she forced herself closer. A faint movement caught her eye, and she leaned in, holding her breath. Maggots, she thought at first, but no. the tiny squirming shapes were something else entirely. Their translucent bodies pulsing with a faint red glow, they writhed in unison, shifting together to trace the X into the carcass's exposed flesh, their movements eerily precise. As she stepped back, her boot crunched on something brittle. Bones. Human bones. A sickening realization struck her as she stared at the scene. This wasn't death. It was consumption. The forest was feeding. She pressed forward, her heart hammering against her ribs. The air grew thicker, a rancid humidity settling on her skin like oil. Her vision wavered as the smell intensified, a choking blend of rot and sulfur. And then, in the clearing ahead, she saw them. Figures. Five of them stood in a circle around the monstrous tree, their forms shrouded in tattered cloaks the color of dried blood. They swayed in unison, their heads thrown back, mouths stretched wide in silent ecstasy. One of them held something aloft, a small, struggling figure bound in ropes of blackened veins. It took a moment for Maya to realize what or who it was. A nymph. Her skin, once shimmering with blue-green hues of water, under moonlight was dulled and graying. Her hair tangled with dead leaves, the nymph's eyes darted desperately, her mouth gagged with a strip of what looked like bark. Black sap oozed from the corner of her lips, dripping onto the forest floor. The cultists began to chant, their voices low and guttural, as though pulled from the earth itself. The trees responded, its branches creaking as they twisted upward, their tips forming a jagged crown against the sky. The ground beneath the nymph trembled, cracks snaking outward as tendrils of roots reached for her, hungrily. Maya's body moved before her mind could stop her. She ducked behind a twisted stump, her fingers trembling as she reached for the vial of aconite. Poison might not save the forest, but it could stop these fanatics. She watched as one cultist raised a jagged blade, its surface slick with dark ichor. The nymph thrashed, her muffled cries piercing through the chanting like a bird's final song. Maya gripped the vial tighter, her other hand steadying her knife. Her plan formed quickly, desperately. One strike, one chance. But the forest had other plans. A branch thin as a whip, but strong as steel, lashed out from nowhere, curling around her ankle. It yanked her off her feet, dragging her from her hiding spot. Her knife clattered to the ground as she was pulled into the clearing, the cultists turning their eyeless faces towards her. The chanting stopped. The silence that followed was worse. One by one, the cultists approached, their movements jerky, inhuman. The air between them and Maya seemed to thrum, the pressure so intense it pressed on her skull. She struggled against the branch's grip, but it tightened. It bark digging into her skin.
"You shouldn't have come,"
a voice hissed. Though none of the cultists spoke, it came from the tree, its trunk splitting slightly to reveal a gaping maw filled with jagged wooden teeth. As the roots withered around her, pulling her closer to the monstrous tree, Maya felt something wet on her cheek. A single purple flower, blackened and shriveled, fell from the branches above and landed at her feet, its petals twisted, forming a perfect X. Chapter 4. The Sacrifice. When the roots claimed her, she understood what it meant to be devoured. Maya's screams ripped through the clearing, swallowed quickly by the oppressive silence of the cult's ritual. The tree's grip tightened, pulling her closer to its gaping maw. The jagged X-shaped split in its trunk, oozing dark sap that reeked of sulfur and blood. The cultists stood motionless, their eyeless faces tilted skyward. as though basking in the foul energy radiating from their monstrous deity. Her knife was just out of reach, glinting faintly in the dying light of day. She strained against the branch holding her, her nails digging into its bark, but it was useless. The wood wasn't just strong. It was alive, writhing and pulsing like veins beneath her hands. The nymph, still bound and helpless, let out a muffled sob. Her eyes met Maya's, wide and glassy, pleading. Maya's mind raced. She couldn't save them both, but she wasn't ready to die here. Not like this. From the corner of her eye, she caught sight of a satchel half spilled across the ground where she'd been dragged. The vial of aconite gleamed among the scattered herbs. If she could just reach it. The tree groaned, a deep guttural sound that resonated through her chest. Its jagged maw stretched open, revealing an inner cavity lined with twisting, root-like tendrils that dripped with dark ichor. The scent of decay grew stronger, almost suffocating. The roots coiled tighter around her, lifting her off the ground, and she realized with sickening clarity that it was preparing to consume her.
No!
She hissed, her voice trembling but resolute. With a sudden burst of adrenaline, she twisted her body sharply, her fingers scraping against the soil until they closed around the vial. The motion sent a sharp pain shooting through her ankle where the branch bit into her flesh, but she didn't care. Her fingers fumbled with the vial stopper as the tree's tendrils reached for her face, slick and wet, writhing with grotesque life. The stopper came loose. And with a defiant cry, Maya hurled the content of the vial towards the tree's open maw. The effect was immediate. The tree let out a deafening roar, not of wood splintering or branches cracking, but something deeper, more primal, as though the forest itself was howling in pain. The aconite seeped into its bark, spreading in dark, inky veins that pulsed like arteries. Its branches thrashed wildly, uprooting chunks of earth and sending the cultist staggering. The root holding her loosened just enough for her to slip free, as she hit the ground hard, gasping, ignoring the pain. She scrambled for her knife, clutching it tightly as she turned to face the chaos. The cultists were writhing now, their bodies convulsing in unnatural spasms as the tree's corruption turned inward. Black sap poured from their mouths and eyes, their cloaks disintegrating as their flesh twisted and peeled away. One by one they collapsed, their forms melting into the soil, leaving only the faint impression of their bodies in the dirt. Maya's eyes darted to the nymph. The vines holding her had slackened, their vitality drained by the poison tree. Without hesitation, Maya rushed to her, soaring through the bindings with her knife. The nymph collapsed into her arms, weak but alive.
Hold on,
Maya whispered, though her voice shook.
We're not done yet.
But the tree wasn't finished. Its thrashing slowed. The branches sagging as its pulsing veins darkened to black, yet its roots began to spread, tearing through the earth with a monstrous hunger. The X-shaped cracks in the ground grew wider, leaking a thick, viscous liquid that hissed and smoked as it touched the air. The entire clearing quaked, the forest groaning like a wounded beast. Maya knew they had moments at best. She hauled the nymph to her feet, the creature's weight unnaturally light. The nymph's eyes flickered open briefly, her lips parting to murmur something unintelligible, her voice like the babble of a distant stream. Maya felt the surge of magic in the air as the nymph raised a trembling hand pointing towards the edge of the clearing. There, a faint glow pulsed, a glimmer of uncorrupted life amidst the rot. Summoning every ounce of strength, Maya half-carried, half-dragged the nymph towards the light. The ground beneath them heaved, the tree's roots surging upward like claws, grasping, tearing. She felt the tips of the tendrils scrape against her back as she stumbled forward, her knife slashing blindly behind her to fend them off. They broke through the clearing's edge just as the tree let out one final ear-splitting wail. A wave of corrupted energy burst outward, sweeping across the forest like wildfire. Maya threw herself over the nymph, shielding her as the blast tore through the trees, leaving behind a trail of death and decay. When the silence returned, Maya dared to look up. Chapter 5: The Dying Forest. Even in survival, the forest bled its agony into the world. Maya pushed herself upright, her body trembling with exhaustion and pain. The nymph lay at her side, still alive but unmoving, her skin pale and mottled like the bark of a dying tree. Around them, the forest was a ruin. Everywhere she looked, life had been stripped away. The trees, once towering and vibrant, were skeletal husks, their branches brittle and bare. The ground was scorched black, cracks in the soil, leaking wisps of foul, smelling vapor. The air hung heavy with ash and something worse, a palpable scent of wrongness, as though the forest's very essence had been poisoned beyond repair. The clearing where the monstrous tree had stood was now a crater, its center a bubbling pit of dark, tar-like liquid. The X-shaped fissures that radiated from it glowed faintly, their edges pulsing with a sickly greenish light. From time to time, something bubbled to the surface, chunks of flesh. Bone, the twisted remnants of the cultists who had given themselves to the tree. Maya staggered to her feet, clutching her side where a sharp pain throbbed with every breath. Her hands were streaked with blood and dirt, her knife dull and bent from the fight. Yet she felt no relief, no triumph. The tree was gone, but its corruption remained. The nymph stirred weakly, her head rolling to one side as she whispered something faint. Maya knelt beside her, leaning in to catch the words.
Water.
The nymph rasped, her voice cracked and dry. Maya glanced around, dread pooling in her stomach. The once pristine stream that wound through the forest was now a sluggish flow of black sludge, its surface choked with dead fish and rotting vegetation. Whatever had been done here, it had tainted everything.
I'll find something,
Maya said, though she had no idea where. She tore a strip from her cloak and soaked it in the least contaminated section of the stream that she could find, bringing it back to the nymph and pressing it gently to her cracked lips. The nymph drank weakly, her body shuddering as the water hit her throat.
It's not enough,
the nymph whispered, her voice trembling.
The force, it's dying. It's pulling me with it.
Maya shook her head, refusing to accept the words.
You'll survive. I'll save you.
The nymph's hand reached up, grasping weakly at Maya's arm. Her touch was cold, her skin damp and fragile like wet paper.
You can't stop what's already done.
The nymph's words hung heavy in the air as the ground beneath them trembled again. The crater at the heart of the clearing belching forth another wave of thick, acrid smoke. The corruption was spreading, slow but unstoppable, seeping into the roots of the forest and beyond. Maya felt it in the air, tasted it on her tongue, a bitter tang of despair. Desperation clawed at her chest. She couldn't let it end like this. Gripping her knife, she turned back to the crater. The air around it shimmered with heat and malice, the glow from the fissures casting grotesque shadows on the surrounding trees. She didn't know what she hoped to accomplish, whether she could undo the ritual or simply stop the spread. But she couldn't leave without trying. The nymph's voice, faint and sorrowful, called after her.
It's too late. The forest has already given itself to something older, hungry.
Maya ignored her, stumbling towards the pit, her boots sinking into the soft, tar-like earth. The closer she got, the heavier the air became, pressing against her chest like an unseen weight. The black liquid at the crater's center bubbled violently as she reached the edge. She saw movement within it, something larger, shifting just beneath the surface. A hand broke through first. It wasn't human. The fingers were elongated, the skin pale and glistening, covered in a sheen of dark ichor. Then came another hand, clawing at the edge of the crater, pulling up a grotesque form that defied logic. Its body was a mass of twisted root and rotting flesh, its face a hollow void where eyes should have been, its mouth stretched wide, filled with jagged teeth that glistened like wet bone. It let out a sound, a low, guttural wail that seemed to reverberate inside Maya's skull, driving her to her knees. Blood trickled from her nose, but she gritted her teeth and forced herself upright, raising her knife with shaking hands. The creature moved with a terrible grace, its limbs cracking and shifting as it pulled itself free of the pit. It loomed over her, its hollow face tilting as though studying her. Then, slowly, it raised one clawed hand and traced an X into the air, the motion deliberate, almost reverent. Maya lunged, her knife plunging into the creature's chest. The blade sank deep, but the creature didn't do so much as flinch. It looked down at the knife, then back at Maya, its mouth twisting into something that might have been a smile. With one swift motion, it swatted her aside like a doll, sending her crashing into the roots of a dead tree. Pain exploded in her side as she gasped for air, her vision swimming. The creature turned back to the pit, its form shimmering as it began to sink back into the blackness.
No! No!
Maya croaked, dragging herself forward. She wouldn't let it retreat. Wouldn't let it spread its corruption further. Her fingers closed around the shard of her broken knife, and with one final surge of strength, she threw it toward the creature. The shard struck true, embedding itself in the creature's back. It let out a terrible scream, the sound shaking the earth and splitting the air. The pit bubbled violently, and for a moment Maya thought she had succeeded. But as the creature dissolved into the liquid, the fissures around the pit widened, spilling forth a tide of black ichor that consumed everything in its path. The ground cracked open beneath her, and she felt herself falling, the world swallowed in darkness. Chapter 6. The Crater. In the wake of the monster's fall, the forest wore death like a second skin. When Maya awoke, the world was silent. A heavy, oppressive silence, as if even the earth was too afraid to breathe. Her body ached in ways she hadn't thought possible, her muscles trembling with exhaustion and pain. Blood caked her hands, her face, her legs. Whether it was her own or something else's, she couldn't tell. She struggled to her feet, her vision blurring as she took in her surroundings. The forest was gone. Where once there had been towering trees and vibrant life, now there was only desolation. A vast, blackened crater stretched before her, its edges jagged and sharp like the teeth of a maw. The ground was cracked and lifeless, the fissures spreading outward like veins, oozing black ichor that hissed and smoked when it touched the air. The tree was no more. Its monstrous form had collapsed into the pit, leaving only a hollow void where its corruption had once thrived. But the price of its fall was evident. The forest, the nymph, the life it had nurtured, all of it had been consumed. Maya staggered towards the center of the crater, her steps slow and unsteady. The ground beneath her felt brittle, crumbling slightly with every step, as if the earth itself was trying to pull her under. Her eyes scanned the desolation, searching for any sign of life, any remnant of what once was. Then she saw it. At the heart of the crater, where the pit's black ichor pooled thick and stagnant, a figure stood. It was the nymph. Her once luminous skin was now pale and translucent. Her hair a tangled mass of grey tendrils that writhed like dying snakes. Her eyes, once as clear as mountain streams, were dark voids. Her gaze fixed on the pit below her feet. She stood motionless, her arms hanging limp at her sides, as though she had become part of the devastation itself. Maya called out to her, her voice hoarse and cracked.
Nymph, can you hear me?
The figure did not move. Maya took another step closer, the ground crunching beneath her.
You're alive. I saved you.
The nymph's head tilted sharply, the motion unnatural, like a puppet yanked on strings. When she spoke, her voice was layered, both hers and something far darker, a sound that crawled into Maya's ears and burrowed into her mind.
You cannot save what is already consumed.
Maya froze, her heart pounding.
I stopped it. I destroyed the tree. The cult is gone.
The nymph, or the thing wearing her form, let out a low, guttural laugh. It echoed across the crater, bouncing off the jagged walls like the laughter of something vast and ancient.
You stopped nothing,
the voice rasped.
The forest was the seed. The tree was merely its bloom. And now the roots have spread.
As the words settled over her, the ground beneath Maya trembled. She looked down and saw thin tendrils of black ichor creeping toward her boots. Their movement deliberate and hungry. She jumped back, but the ichor followed, spreading across the crater floor in intricate patterns that all converged on one unmistakable shape. An X. The nymph raised her head and her dark eyes locked onto Maya's.
You think this is the end?
The voice said, each word dripping with malice.
It is only the beginning.
The black ichor surged upward, twisting and writhing as it formed new shapes, faces, hands, bodies, all stretching toward Maya with desperate, grasping movements. The air grew thick with the stench of rot, and the ground beneath her feet began to crumble. Maya turned and ran, her heart pounding as the crater collapsed behind her. The jagged walls gave way, spilling black ichor that surged outward, swallowing the remains of the forest in its tide. The tendrils reached for her, clawing at her heels, but she pushed forward, her breath coming in ragged gasps. She didn't stop until she reached the hill where her cabin once stood, or where it should have stood. The cabin was gone, its remains swallowed by the spreading corruption. In its place was a blackened field. The soil cracked and lifeless, the same X-shaped fissures carved deep into the earth. The ichor had already reached the stream, turning its waters dark and viscous, a vein of death snaking its way towards the horizon. Maya dropped to her knees, the enormity of it all crashing over her. She had fought. She had survived. But she hadn't won. She looked up at the sky, its grey expanse now tinged with sickly green streaks that seemed to pulse with the same dark energy as the ichor below. The air was heavy with the scent of decay, the hum of insects replaced by a low, ominous thrumming that came from everywhere and nowhere at once. The forest was dead, and something far worse had taken its place. The end. Another massive thank you to Maya, becoming my white tea warlord. I received a lovely email that a new Patreon had entered the ranks for this podcast, and I was overjoyed. So I immediately set to creating a brand new story for that lovely white tea warlord, and that white tea warlord being Maya. This story, I wanted to have a bit of a twist to it, and, you know, not always a happy ending. I'm always keen to hear your thoughts, though, and if you would like to hear more of this tale, or just end it, just having Maya unfortunately not beat the dark presence that had taken over the forest. Sometimes that is the sad and unfortunate reality. Not every time a hero can win, and makes for a very unique story. As unique as Maya, because Maya is also a return supporter, and for that I am ever, ever grateful. If you want to support the podcast as well, please go ahead and check out my Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/SFGT. And for all those that can support the podcast, I am eternally grateful. If you support at the White Tea Warlord rank and above, you're guaranteed a custom story written just for you, like Maya here. And if dollar dues are tight at the moment, you can send your love in a different way, hopping on over to iTunes and leaving an iTunes review. It makes a massive difference, and I really, really do appreciate it. Now, I want to say a huge thank you to my Patreon supporters. First and foremost is my Ode Knight T Titan, the man, the myth, the legend, the deity, with an unmistakably ironclad memory that is Matto Star. This legend supports this show not just with dollary dues, but also with an amazing friendship. I am extremely lucky to know you, Matto. Your comments always put a smile on my face, and also have me thinking about different ways to end stories, even if they're against the grain. You bring a diversity of thought in your commentary that actually helps me create better and better content. And not just that, but having the old chinwag with you in Patreon comments, your presence is ever felt, and you influence the podcast in ways that you wouldn't believe. So Matto Star, you are a legend, my friend, and a wonderful person. I hope you have a fantastic week ahead of you, because fantastic people deserve fantastic days and nights. Thank you so much, legend, and thank you for your support. And now I want to thank my friends, my White Tea Warlords, first and foremost, one of three that I'm lucky to have now, Lesosaurus Rex. What can I say about this stalwart, this man with dwarven fortitude and equally dwarven strength? If you could personify a muscle-bound dwarf with the endurance of a mountain, yes, visualize that deeply. That, my friends, is my friend, Lesosaurus Rex. Dudio, I hope you're doing fantastico, that your gym session is absolutely brilliant. I'm sure you're probably on, I don't know, rep 1000, because legends, Leza doesn't do anything halfway, okay? So while I'm doing like, you know, 20 reps a session, Leza's like, 20? Rookie numbers, pump them numbers up, mate. Leza, seriously though, I hope you have a fantastic week and thank you so, so much for your support, mate. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. And my next awesome White Tea Warlord, Joseph Schroeder. You absolute legend, you. Man, it is wonderful to catch your likes and high fives on the latest episodes. Thank you so much for spending the time. And also, thank you so much for your support and friendship. I'm keen to hear what you're up to. So send me a ping whenever you like. And if you have any more zombie stories that you'd recommend to read, I'm all ears, mate. Thank you, man, for having my back and supporting the podcast at this tier. You really are brilliant and my pal. Have a kick-ass week. And my third White Tea Warlord, goodness gracious, how lucky am I? And that is Maya. The focus, the subject of today's tale. I hope, Maya, that you love this story. I hope that I could bring it to life and it was a tale that you enjoyed. And I thought I would do something a bit different and create a tale that would stick in people's minds as not just having a good ending. And that sometimes the reality is, you know, things go down shit creek without a paddle. So Maya, thank you so much for choosing to support me. I really do appreciate it. And I've actually put that dollary do right into some more artificial intelligence sound effects. So I've been using my voice and modulating what you heard as the women in this episode. I get to act out the piece and I get to use AI to modulate and overlay vocals to essentially create myself as a lady. But Maya, thanks to your support and all of my Patreon supporters, No matter what tier, I'm now able to really bring my A++++ game. Thank you so, so much, Maya. You are wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Have a brilliant week ahead of you. And to my amazing, show-stopping, Earl Grey enforcers, I am lucky to have Chad Warren, Just Heather, Sunshine Days, Juicebox Andy, Peter Affioli, Divided by Zero, Paige Kramer, Jane Gumnick, Michael Krupp, Jandy Prinz, and Seductive Smiles. Thank you, thank you, thank you for choosing to support this podcast. As I said, if you want to be like these legends and support this podcast, hop onto my Patreon, www.patreon.com/SFGT, where you can send some dollar dues my way. And if you're wondering what patrons get, they get a high quality audio recording and they get the episode an entire week ahead. So if that's something that you think is worth the while, feel free to send love my way. Now I'm going to be signing off with my musical outro. Stay safe, stay awesome, and as always, till next we meet. Catch ya.
Night whispers secrets untold. Ghostly tales centuries old. In the shadows, mysteries unfold. Listeners gather brave and bold. Stories, fables, ghostly tales. In every shadow a truth unveils. As the night around us prevails, every whispered secret says. Wide with fear. Tales of the unseen draw near. Blurring lines between what's clear, between the real and what appears. In the night's embrace we find tales that haunt the mind. Forever in the dark entwined, ghostly tales forever bind. Forever,
forever,
forever.
Thanks for listening, legends. Thank you to my Patreon supporters. And a huge shout out to Matto Star, Lizosaurus, and Joseph. Have a great week.
Legends. Thank you to my patron.